I've never felt like this before. It's like you just get me. I feel like my true self with you. Does that sound crazy? And it doesn't hurt that you're gorgeous. Okay, that's it. I'm taking you home with me. I mean, you can't find shoes this good just anywhere. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at your DSW store or DSW.com.
What's on your mind right now? The song you can't get out of your head? That breaking story? Or that conversation you just have to be a part of?
That's the brand new song from...
This is a breaking news report.
He shoots! He scores!
That's radio. Happening now. Connecting you to what matters most exactly when it's happening. From the airwaves to every device you stream on, radio is everywhere you are. It's local, live, and it's for you. Tag your favorite radio station today on social media and use hashtag National Radio Day to celebrate. That's hashtag National Radio Day.
It was a fun conversation. If you're interested in how an NFL front office works this time of year, heading up to the roster cutdown time and how they operate and looking at the rest of the league, I thought there was some really good insight in that conversation, if that's something that interests you. The one thing that Nick said about the offense, Seth, that I thought was very accurate, it was a really good point, but I think he may have underestimated just how in tune we as the media, maybe some fans are, as to the importance of it, was that little dump-off pass that C.J. Stroud had to Nick Chubb to take an adverse situation and turn it into it. It was a 2nd and 6. It was a catch for 4 yards. And he was saying, man, that's probably something not a lot of people noticed, or it was a play that just kind of came and went. The only reason it probably just came and went is because it was a preseason game and people just aren't hyper-focused. If that were a regular season game, you articulated it perfectly, man. Like, 2nd and 8, 2nd and 6, for this team, feels way different than all those 2nd and 12s last year.
One of the most promising developments so far from the first two preseason games has been that there haven't been any, when the starters are out there, when the first group in game one and then most of the starters in game two are out there, they didn't have any negative run plays. Because it does. It just sets you so far behind schedule when it's 2nd and 12 or 2nd and 13, right, and you're just digging it. Because then an incomplete pass, basically on 2nd down, can doom you at that point.
Yep.
So it sounds like a baby step, but it's a really, really big deal in terms of just being able to have a productive, consistent offense. But CJ, and this is something that almost every young quarterback goes through, is learning to embrace the check down in the NFL.
Mm-hmm.
Guys come out of college, they've had success. And especially when you go to Ohio State and you've got all those receivers out there, it's so tempting to
just
wait.
5 first-rounders right on the team. Yeah.
You wait and see what develops downfield, because why not?
Yeah.
Right? 5 first-rounders and a good offensive line in front of you. You wait to see. So it's really getting it ingrained in your muscle memory, grooved into your muscle memory, that on that play, didn't see the coverage he thought he was going to see. Don't overthink it.
Yeah.
Hit the check down.
Yep.
That's good.
Yeah.
Especially on 1st and 2nd down. 3rd down's a whole other story.
Right.
The 1st and 2nd down, take that positive yardage. And it's not a matter of intelligence or anything like that. It's just, it's muscle memory, and it's a maturation in your attitude as a quarterback, that those cliches about, you know, don't go broke taking a profit, take what the defense gives you, they're cliches for a reason. It's because they're true.
They're
and you got to learn when to apply them.
I said that we would have D'Amico on the John Metchie trade. Well, we got Nick Caserio. We got the cuts right here. A shout out to Tyler Milner getting those Caserio cuts to us quick. We just finished up with him about 15 minutes ago. Here is Nick Caserio. I asked him what made John Metchie the logical person to kind of clear up this logjam that they've got in the wide receiver room.
Yeah, there's never one particular factor that, you know, forces you to make a decision. I would say that position is probably as deep as any position on the team. You're going to end up keeping however many receivers you're going to keep. And as it pertains to Metch, I mean, D'Amico was asked about it yesterday. I mean, I feel the same way that D'Amico does. I mean, love everything about John. Everybody knows his story, what he's been through to get to this point. He's a good football player. He's meant a lot to this program. He's done a lot for this program. And I think in that particular particular situation. It's a good opportunity for him in Philadelphia, where he probably has a chance to maybe have a bigger role than he potentially could have had here, just given our depth currently on the roster. Now, could that change in the blink of an eye? For sure. So there's a calculus that goes into it. I'd say that was a situation where Howie and I had some discussions, and then we were able to come to a resolution. And I think we've done, I don't know, 7 or 8 trades with Philadelphia. I think Howie and I mean, I respect the way Howie goes about his business, and I think there's a mutual respect and understanding there. Honestly, giving him a chance to go to a situation where he has a pretty good opportunity, you know, we felt like it was the right thing by John as well. And just given, you know, our situation, I mean, could he have helped us? Yeah, absolutely. He has helped us over the course of his career. But I mean, these are decisions that we have to make. And, you know, we make the decision that we feel is best for the team, and we kind of keep moving forward.
It's interesting, Seth, because, you know, Mechie may have ultimately, if there were no trade opportunities, he might have been the one that got cut, even with this good camp that he's had. But he's also, in terms of if you're trying to move him in a trade, he's got the most value out of Braxton Berrios, Justin Watson, and John Mechie because of the upside with him. He's the youngest of those three guys, and he's a former second-round pick, so the physical tools are there. And I think, you know, and the Texans have a tight end.
Yeah. You think he has a better trade value than those guys?
Yes.
Than Braxton Berrios?
Yes, yes.
Really?
I do, yes. Yeah, because he's a younger player with upside. Braxton Berrios is a vet. You know what he is.
Right, but I guess if you're a team that knows that you want a guy that can be a returner and knows what he's doing as a receiver, like given there, I think there might be a lot of teams out there that say, no, we'd rather...
Maybe, yeah, no, I'm not saying it's unanimous, but I'm guessing if you put those three players out there for the 32 teams, I would guess most of them would want Mechie ahead of those other guys because of the upside. Right. Yeah. Yeah. And it sounds like you disagree with me, and that's okay.
I'm just saying, because I'm like, well, you kept the guys on the team, yeah, whatever, yeah. It's... Like Braxton Berrios, like clearly the Texans would rather have Braxton Berrios on their team than John Mechie.
Yeah.
So if they're in a situation where they didn't have John Mechie or Braxton Berrios, it seems like they would trade more for Braxton Berrios than John Mechie.
Yeah, I don't know. I just feel like he fills a need more maybe for the Texans because, to your point, his return ability. As an asset. Yeah. Anyways, we're probably going too deep on this, but yeah, that was Nick Caserio on John Mechie right there.
I don't know if John Mechie might not make the team in Philadelphia.
They might, and
that's where the Texans get a tight end that might not make the team, but there's at least competition now there at the tight end spot.
Yeah. Yep. All right, Payne and Pendergast with you. Is Mechie going to be this year's Noah Brown? About halfway through the year, we might miss him. I'll point out Noah Brown got hurt again last year in Washington. He caught that Hail Mary. And I don't think that's Noah Brown was starting for Washington last year. I don't think Mechie cracks the starting lineup with Devontae Smith and AJ Brown there.
Barring injuries or what have you.
Yeah.
In fairness to Noah Brown too, I think Noah Brown had many more big moments in one year with the Texans than John Mechie has had his entire career with the Texans.
No question. Noah Brown had like back to back 150 yard games in the middle of the season in 2023. Yeah. So I'm not concerned about that with John Mechie. All right. Payne and Pendergast with you as we roll on here on a Tuesday. Let's hear more from Nick Caserio. We just finished up with him. The offensive perspective for the Texans. How's he feeling about the offense right now and getting down to 53? What's the process to get there? We'll hear from the Texans GM who just – finished up with us about 20 minutes ago, coming up next.
I've never felt like this before. It's like you just get me. I feel like my true self with you. Does that sound crazy? And it doesn't hurt that you're gorgeous. Okay, that's it. I'm taking you home with me. I mean, you can't find shoes this good just anywhere. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at your DSW store or DSW.com.
What's on your mind right now? The song you can't get out of your head? That breaking story or that conversation you just have to be a part of?
That's the brand new song from...
This is a breaking news report.
He shoots! He scores!
That's radio. happening now. Connecting you to what matters most exactly when it's happening. From the airwaves to every device you stream on, radio is everywhere you are. It's local, live, and it's for you. Tag your favorite radio station today on social media and use hashtag National Radio Day to celebrate. That's hashtag National Radio Day.
Live from the Mokarem Injury Lawyers Studios, Sports Radio 610 presents Pain and Pendergast.
All right, Pain and Pendergast with you on a Tuesday. Here was Nick Caserio. He was on with us a little bit earlier this morning. You can get the entire interview on the Odyssey app, Rewind, or on the Pain and Pendergast podcast. The interview will be up a little later on this morning. Good conversation. They have a joint practice coming up on Thursday with the Detroit Lions, and Nick Caserio talked about how you plan for that joint practice with the Detroit Lions.
Yeah, you might sprinkle some things in there, Seth. The reality is everybody is going to probably talk about it. Well, we did this practice, we did that. So you're going to run your defense, you're going to run your offense. Maybe you're going to work on something maybe that you haven't worked on to this point. Or like I said, give the opposition a different look. So honestly, you want to try to make it as taxing or difficult as possible because it's kind of like the game. You might go into the game, haven't seen that before. Something comes up during the course of the game. How are we going to handle it? How are we going to adjust to it? What's the communication? You can spend some time on the sideline in between series. So there's a number of different ways that, you know, you can tackle this. But you might be some things in practice that you're not going to do in the game that you're going to just do in practice. And maybe it's something that you're going to use in a regular season. Understanding it's a long year, you're probably going to end up using everything at some point along the way.
And I think the big part there is, especially if you think about CJ learning this offense and getting comfortable with it, and with the offensive line, being able to tell the Lions, hey, you know, we'd like to see you guys maybe rotate your coverages, or we'd like to see this blitz because we've had some trouble with that. It's stuff that isn't going to happen in a preseason game, or even if you tried to orchestrate it in a preseason game, there's too many variables and there's too much randomness to just dial that up. So that part of it, the value of actually getting really good work versus the Lions starters, and maybe some looks that are tougher for CJ or that he's had some trouble with, that's just invaluable. And I love the joint practices. It seems like around the league this year there are fewer examples of practices being shut down or turning into
for fights.
Circuses because of fights.
Yeah, that's a really good point. There have been a couple. The only scuffle I've heard about the last few days was apparently Jeffrey Simmons and Cam Ward got into it at a Titans practice.
On their own team.
On their
right,
own team. Yeah, like one of them hit the other. I forget who hit who.
And then apparently the Tennessee media, I just saw a couple different people talking about how Jeffrey Simmons is too sensitive or I don't know.
Or has he become sensitive over time?
In general, and just I think he's had some testy relations with the media. I don't know. It's weird because we look at Jeffrey Simmons and Tavondre Sweat as crap. Those guys destroyed the Texans last year.
Yep.
And I wonder if maybe Tennessee doesn't appreciate Jeffrey Simmons.
Maybe
Jeffrey Simmons needs to agitate for a trade. I don't know.
Well, he's been a Titan for his whole career and that team feels like it's going nowhere right now. I would imagine when you're that level of player, especially when you're a player that I got to go look at his resume, but Jeffrey Simmons feels like a player who, if he has a couple more good years, is in a Hall of Fame conversation. And if you're toiling on a team that's winning 3 or 4 games a year, it probably damages your chances of getting into the Hall of Fame just because you're not on the radar. You know, you're just off the grid in Tennessee, and that can get frustrating.
Yeah, I don't think he's all pro twice. I didn't realize he was all pro twice.
Yeah, so if he has a couple more all pro years, he's right there. You're a 4-time all pro. That means you're among the 3 or 4 best guys at your position for 3 or 4 years. That's pretty good. And Tavondre Sweat was the choice. That article I cited earlier, Seth, about first-time Pro Bowlers from each NFL team, where Kamari Lassiter was the choice for the Texans. Tavondre Sweat was the choice for the Tennessee Titans. That would be bad if you're a Texans fan, if Tavondre Sweat turns into a Pro Bowl-level terror for them on the interior. It's already bad that he is what he is until further notice. At least last season it was.
That's now I'm getting it. Don't let me get sidetracked on a Jeffrey Simmons Hall of Fame conversation. He was second team all pro twice. The thing that's tough with him is that he's not a sack artist. So interior defensive linemen typically aren't. But the guys that make the Hall of Fame tend to be guys that have freakishly great sack productions, regardless of them being interior offensive linemen.
Yeah,
so,
and if you're not a sack artist, you need to be on what? A good football team.
A really good defense.
Yeah, that's,
you got to the Steelers. Some of the guys that have made it on Steelers defenses that weren't, you wouldn't think of them as being all pro, except that they were part of an awesome defense in a Super Bowl or two championship.
Yep. Now, when you sign a long-term contract with the Tennessee Titans, you deserve whatever it is you get, though. Nobody was forcing him to put pen to paper. He could have hit free agency.
Hendrickson up there in Cincinnati. What'd you expect, man? What are you doing?
Yeah, you signed with the Bengals. Oh, they're being cheap now? No kidding. Yeah.
Oh, the Bengals aren't fulfilling the promises they made to you? You were an adult when you signed that contract, man.
Yeah, yeah.
No sympathy for
Technically,
me.
He's not fulfilling his promise to them right now. Because
right,
he's under contract, yeah.
Oh, yeah, I've become such a grumpy old man about that. I'm a complete turncoat from the player's side. In baseball, you know what happens in baseball? It's very, very rare that a player tries to agitate his way for a new cut. Sometimes they'll try to get force a trade.
Yep.
But even that is relatively rare.
Yes.
And I think that's partly why they're able to have the guaranteed contracts that they do. It's always going to be different in football because of the injury situation.
Yep.
But football these last few years, I've gotten really annoyed at how quickly guys just start agitating their way into either new contracts or just off of teams.
Oh, yeah.
And it's making me a grumpy old man.
It's accepted as part of the process now.
It wasn't that wasn't the way it was when I played. So
right.
It's hard for me to act like this is like, oh, I'm going to stand by the players and every single time that they want to whine and cry their way out of a situation.
This is like Charles Barkley being on the set on TNT going, why are these NBA teams trading these guys to the teams that they want to go to? We'll work with you and trade you to the team you want to go to. Nick Caserio, we asked him, where's the area you've seen the most improvement from C.J. Stroud?
Yeah, I would say overall understanding of the offense, and I'd say the overall decision-making in terms of, okay, if the first option's not there, getting to the second or third read, or okay, if it's a split safety coverage and the defense presents this, knowing where your outlet is, I'd say those are some of the things, and you saw that even in the game the other day. We had a three-step drop call there in the red area or in the fringe, and they went to a split safety shell coverage, and we didn't have the quick throw, and he got the ball to the back to Nick over the middle for a completion, which looked like a nothing play, but it made it second and four or second and six, so we didn't have a negative play in the game, which means the ball was moving forward. So I think those are the types of things that you see. It's a small play, like the average fan's going to look at that and go, wait a minute, I don't even remember that play. But that actually is what you want to see, in terms of grasping the offense, understanding where to go with the football, making quick decisions, getting rid of the football, those types of things.
I got excited about that because I felt like, oh, I'm not an average fan at least.
I vividly remember that play.
I spent 3 minutes talking about that on my live stream a couple days ago, that specific play. The other part about that play, too, is Nick said the throw wasn't there. And I got to go back and look and see what the left, because I was watching on the TV copy at the time. But Jaden Higgins also didn't have his eyes on CJ when CJ was turned towards Jaden Higgins. I don't know what the deeper read was on that, but... So I don't know if that's on Jaden Higgins or if maybe that was just because of the coverage too, that's the way it worked out. But CJ didn't waste any time.
Mm-hmm.
He had to slide to his right to get to the lane to throw to Chubb, and he did a great job of doing that as well. And that was on a play where if CJ decided to hold on or wait, then A, Nick Chubb might have gotten covered up by a linebacker, and B, Blake Fisher had lost control of his guy, so the defensive end would have had a good shot on CJ.
Yeah.
So it was the seamlessness of it and just the lack of hesitation by CJ that was growth and maturation on his part.
I think two of the most encouraging plays. Well, let's play this other Caserio here, and then I'll tell you what they were. One of the areas the team can improve is on preventing turnovers.
And I'd say overall offensively, the biggest area that we can improve that's going to help us during the course of the year is taking care of the football. Like, we obviously have a defense where the ball is of the utmost importance. We have a number of guys that can take the ball away. We've thrown it to the defense offensively a number of different times. So if we can mitigate that and eliminate that, D'Amico put a stat up there to the team last week. If you don't, and I've talked about this, if you don't do anything other than take care of the ball and have zero turnovers, it correlates to 80% wins. So I think as an offense, the more we can comprehend and understand that, the better off we're going to be. So just relative to your question, relative to CJ's development, I would say grasping and ownership and understanding the offense, and then just understanding, just make the right play on a consistent basis. That's what good offensive football is all about.
Now, the interesting thing here is CJ has thrown some picks in camp this year.
It feels
feels like he's thrown more than his share.
I think this is where it's tough, too. And the first 2 weeks in camp especially, it was an exercise in not wanting to make excuses, but also realistically looking at the reality of the situation of installing a new offense, going against that defense, which is very takeaway happy. And that, you know, CJ has alluded to this, and I think it does make sense. There have been times where he's made throws that he wouldn't make in a game just to try to execute the play as it's called and to maybe test things a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
But that can be dicey. I'm cool with that, but then, okay, wait, are you creating bad habits? Like, you want to practice the way you play in games? All of that. I'm not worried about it at this point. Now, obviously, if it ends up being an issue in the first couple of weeks of the season, we'll have to worry about it. But things have started to congeal ever since that, really the second practice in West Virginia.
Yeah.
They've looked a lot more like a competent, functioning offense. And they've been doing it while going against that Texans defense, which, unlike a lot of other defenses in the league, the Texans' veterans and their best players practice like it's the Super Bowl.
Yep.
Like, they really have a philosophy of the best guys and the oldest guys. Danielle Hunter is going out there and working really, really hard. So, like, CJ's getting their best shot every single rep in practice.
That's correct. The two plays to me on that drive that were very encouraging was the one Nick noted in that previous cut we played, the little dump off to Nick Chubb that made it 2nd and 6. And then the 2nd and goal play where CJ was kind of scrambling around in the pocket and then just decided to eventually bury himself in the fetal position for a 1 yard loss instead of trying to force something to somebody covered in the end zone. He's looking at it going, I got two more downs to get this thing into the end zone. I'm going to live to fight another day. And that's what mature quarterbacks do, you know?
And there's a little bit of that too, where, okay, in a regular season game, CJ might've just made a break for the goal line. The one point when he started to scramble, there was somebody in his face, and then I think he thought, okay, I'll try to just scramble and run laterally and see if the receivers can uncover, and that very well might have worked out, but he was cut off at the pass again, and that's when it started looking like he was a squirrel running in the highway. But he also knew, okay, it is the preseason. I'm just going to go ahead and bury myself here instead of trying to take a hit, getting into the end zone.
All right, we normally do the Pettycast on Tuesday at 8 a.m., but we were chatting with Nick Caserio Tuesday at 8 a.m. Today at 8 a.m., we were. So we're doing a 9 o'clock Pettycast. Are you ready to be petty, Seth Payne?
I'm ready to amp up the pettiness.
Good.
Over my current status quo level of pettiness, okay, which is already pretty high.
Sounds good. All right, so we'll do the Pettycast.
Yeah, it's like asking a Blanco if you're ready to sweat.
Yeah.
Like, I've been sweating since 5:30 a.m.
Ready to sweat more.
But I can sweat more,
You're ready to be more petty than you already are. All right, so let's do this. Pettycast. We got some good stuff in here, man, and we'll do it. Including Kyle Tucker. Oh, boy. We'll do it. The Pettycast coming up next.
What's on your mind right now? The song you can't get out of your head? That breaking story? Or that conversation you just have to be a part of?
That's the brand new song from...
This is a breaking news report.
He shoots! He scores!
That's radio. Happening now. Connecting you to what matters most exactly when it's happening. From the airwaves to every device you stream on, radio is everywhere you are. It's local, live, and it's for you. Tag your favorite radio station today on social media and use hashtag National Radio Day to celebrate. That's hashtag National Radio Day.